everybody. It's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magic worlds of Disney.
Hello, and welcome to show number 158 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. This week, I have Charlotte with me. Hey, Charlotte, how's it going?
It's going great, Jimmy. I'm looking so forward to tonight.
I think this is going to be a great show. This week we have, we're very honored to have Jeff Baham. Jeff,
hi.
Jeff, how's it going, man?
It's going great. Thank you for having me.
Welcome, Jeff.
Yeah, we feel lucky to have you. So, Jeff is the founder, and I guess you still web extraordinaire over at doombuggies.com.
Yeah, 19 years last week.
Oh, so. My God.
Wow.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Also the author of the unauthorized story of Walt Disney's Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, thank you.
And on top of that, Jeff Baham Designs and co-host and founder of the Mastalgia podcast at www.mastalgia.com.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. Yeah. Lots of Disney goodness to spread around.
You've got a long resume, just, and that's, I mean, we really didn't even get into your job.
So,
just your extracurricular activities are pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, the lines get a little blurred sometimes, right?
Definitely. Right. Definitely.
Yeah.
Jeff, I'd like to start out. One of the things we like to ask, and sometimes I ask this at the end, sometimes I ask at the beginning, but since we are the Disney Nerds Podcast, I'd like to ask any guest that comes on the show, you know, what makes Jeff a Disney nerd, or when did it start? Where did that spark come from?
Wow, great question. Well, so I've been going to the Disney parks since as long as I can remember. When I was young, I've always lived up here in the Bay Area, but Disneyland down in Southern California is about six-hour, seven-hour drive. And when I was young, my parents grew up in L.A. and they had friends down there. So we would go down, they'd see their friends and all of their kids and us. We became friends, you know, almost like cousins, you know. And so we would go to Disneyland together once or twice a year. So I had kind of a foundation of knowing Disneyland. I think when I was graduated from high school, around then, the Disney stores started opening up around the country. And I'd always been kind of a fan, but I didn't know how to, you know, really put my fingers on that so well, you know. But when the stores opened and they had all of the books, and they used to be much more focused on collectibles and than they are now, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm a collector. Like, my entrance into Disney, the world of Disney, is Disneyana and collecting. That's kind of my, you know, we all have some little thing that grounds us in Disney. That's my thing. So, you know, when they opened those Disney stores, it was like, you know, a place I could focus my attention and kind of cement my interest in the fan angle a little bit more. So I guess that's a few years before the internet really popped into GeoCities and, you know, everyone making their fan websites for their favorite band and their pet and whatever. And so I chose the Haunted Mansion and made a little free website about the Haunted Mansion. And that's what turned into doomuggies.com. So, but I would say, you know, as far as being a Disney nerd, it's a combination of things. Going to the parks, you know, pretty regularly my whole life. The whole Disney store thing when I was older. And when I was younger, you know, my parents really relied on those big 12-inch Disneyland records as our free time things for me and my sister. So we had, you know, record player and these big read-along Disney records. And we probably had almost all of them. But for sure, The Haunted Mansion was one of my favorite records. And also the Haunted House's Chilling Sounds record. So I remember those as long as I can remember back. I've had those records. I broke them pretty regularly, and my parents would begrudgingly replace them over and over again. So, you know, you put all those little pieces together, and that's kind of where it started, somewhere between, you know, as long ago as I can remember and college. Somewhere right in there. It was kind of a progression, but really when I had the resources to start collecting, you know, when I really started to work, that's kind of when it fell into place as a real, like, hobby, you could say.
True,
that's a great answer. And you know what's interesting, and me and Charlie talked a little bit about this earlier today. We are all the hosts on the Disney Nerds podcast, and there's five of us that kind of rotate in and out. But we're all, like, I would say our home park is Walt Disney World.
Sure.
Some of us have been. I live in New Orleans. Some of us have been. I've never been to Disneyland. I would love to go. It's definitely on the list. But all of us are. We all live, I think, pretty much on the eastern side of the country. So we all typically go to Walt Disney World.
Sure.
More than
I might
more than
be
Disneyland.
The nearest, because I'm six, so about 6.5 hours
yeah, you're
away.
Very close
so
to Disney World.
It's very easy for me to go from Atlanta to Orlando, and so it's our home park. And we do probably very similar to like you when you were growing up. You have friends down in Florida, or you did in South California, and it was easy to go and visit them and also go hang at the home park. And
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So
one of the things, and by the way, so we've been doing the podcast, I think, for about 3 years now, maybe a little bit longer than 3 years. Each year we've done kind of like a bracketology March Madness type of thing. And one year we did theme park attractions, and the Haunted Mansion won the whole thing. So we're all huge Haunted Mansion fans. I collect a lot of Haunted Mansion memorabilia. Me and my wife are both huge Haunted Mansion fans. When did you find yourself really getting into the Haunted Mansion and kind of that fan base?
Yeah, that's a great question too. You know, I've always been it's a combination, right? So I've always been a monster kid. I was right at the tail end of, well, I guess not, excuse me, as a kid in the 70s, right? And so Famous Monsters magazine is what I always spent my allowance on. You know, there was, and there were a lot of those great kind of genre magazines, Omni, and so that was one thing. You know, Halloween was starting to burst with more than just the plastic costumes. They started having, you know, Scar stuff and all these kind of new products you could buy. So it was kind of a great little time to be a, you know, to be a monster kid. So I like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I, in high school and college, would put on haunted houses, you know, with my church group and with other groups. And I think the furthest we got in that one year we had a strip mall haunted house for a couple of days. But, you know, I'd always had a little bit of an interest in that angle of things. I've never been really a horror fan. I'm not a big horror movie fan. I don't like to be scared.
You know, that's interesting you say that, because I feel the same exact way. And people, I don't know how I make the connection, but people who know me are always like, you really like a huge fan of the Haunted Mansion, but you don't. And that's not really, like, for movies and stuff, that's completely not my genre at all.
Yeah, you know, and I think for me, at least, it kind of ties back to the whole Monster Kid thing. Like, that was a fairly innocent time. Like, there were monsters and the Universal Monsters and all of that, and it was cool, right? And it was super neat, but it really wasn't scary, and it wasn't murder. Like, horror films are essentially, you know, violence and gore.
Right. Snuff.
I'm not really a big fan of that kind of thing. So it is interesting, especially being the Doom Buggies guy, because I have such a wide range of people that love the Haunted Mansion. And, you know, I have a very, you know, I appreciate everyone's point of view. And so I try to be open to everything. But personally, I'm really not a big fan of that kind of spooky stuff. So it is kind of interesting, you know. So the Haunted Mansion really became more prominent. Well, you know, I always knew it from when I was the youngest kid, because I had that record, right? I can't remember not having the record. It came out the year after I was born.
You're talking about the one with, like, Ron Howard and
Ron Howard.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Awesome.
And I had numerous copies of that record because I would break it, because I was tracing the pictures, you know, and trying to learn how to draw all the ghosts.
Right.
Just trace it with the record in there and bust the record. So I've always known the Haunted Mansion. And, you know, it is interesting today, you know, with Mousetalgia, my true interest in the Disney world of Disney. It's probably more just in general WED Imagineering and Disneyland history. It's not so much pointed directly at the Haunted Mansion. You know what I mean? But I'm the Doomuggies guy, so people kind of presume. And it is, don't get me wrong, it is definitely one of my favorite attractions by far. It probably goes in and out from being my favorite to not, you know, depending on the weather. But it's definitely up there because I like the story behind it and the history of it, you know. But I'm a kind of an equal opportunity Disney fan as far as attractions go. There's something about a lot of them that I can pinpoint as being amazing and interesting and intriguing to me personally. Haunted Mansion started when I was a little kid. You know, it started with that record. Definitely started with that record. That's what I knew of as the Haunted Mansion and all those great pictures by Colin Campbell and, you know, just the voice of Peter Renaday as the ghost host. Like, that's my ghost host, the echoey, you know, kind of vaguely European ghostly voice that was on the record. So that's kind of where it came from. And then, you know, Doombuggy started just because I kind of was trying to teach myself to do web design. I had just graduated from art school in the early 90s, and Photoshop had just come out while I was in college, and so there was no real requirements to know computers for a design degree, but like within a year or two, that was a major part of graphic design, you know. And so I thought I have to be my own teacher for this stuff. So I got a free website account, and everyone else was doing all this stuff about, you know, their favorite band or their favorite whatever, their favorite star, you know. And I thought I would do it on my favorite attraction. So I just, and I had collected, you know, a couple articles, and I had a few bits of memorabilia about the Haunted Mansion, little bits of this and that, enough to make a fan page, you know. And I was kind of a member of Usenet at the time back then. I don't know if any of you remember the days of Usenet. That was kind of before websites. We would all gather in these like message forums and communicate that way. And so Disney had its Disney groups, you know, and so I had a little bit of a head start. You know, I could start a website and introduce it to all these people. So, yeah, that's where it started back in 1997.
Very cool. That's fantastic.
Early adopter.
Do you get an opportunity to go, or have you gone in the past to Walt Disney World often?
Not often. I've been there four or five times, I guess, over my life. But enough to be familiar with it, but not, you know, very familiar.
And the reason I ask is, do you prefer the Haunted Mansion version in Disneyland, which I've never seen, or the Haunted Mansion in Walt Disney World?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I generally tell people that the Walt Disney World Haunted Mansion overall is more impressive. I'm not a big fan of the ending with the animated hitchhiking ghosts. I feel like that's a little jarring difference from the rest of the attraction. I don't know why. I mean, there's plenty of animation in there. You know, the singing busts are animated, and Little Leota and Madame Leota.
Sure.
Excuse me. But somehow the comedy doesn't feel the same to me. So that, I don't love that, but I especially love your stretching room, which is incredible compared to the Disneyland has the original quadraphonic, just as it's how it was built basically. And when they upgraded the Disney World stretch room to have the, you know, the circles that surround, I mean, the speakers that surround the whole room.
Right.
It's just far different. I mean, the soundtrack is different. The effects are different. Just hearing the walls creak and stretch is such a big deal. I mean, it makes a big difference. So there's things about the Walt Disney World Haunted Mansion, I think, that put it like a little notch above Disneyland's. But, you know, they made them, basically they made them at the same time. They made all the props and things together.
They made two of them, right?
Yeah. And they stored the Disney Worlds for a while. So it's, you know, it's not so far apart in terms of like the genesis. It really is kind of a contemporary. They're both brother and sister, or brother and brother, however you want to say that, you know. So right. they're not really, I can kind of look at them as this on the level playing field and then say, well, you have this giant building, we have this stately manor. But, you know, it used to be much more kind of even, because really it was very similar. But now with your enhancements, I kind of have to lean towards Disney World.
I think one of the things, and I'm surprised you say that, because I've never been to Disneyland, but one of the things I hear most people say is that, most people that I've talked to say that for the attractions that exist in on both coasts, they feel like Disneyland has the better version. One of the things that really separates your Disneyland apart from Walt Disney World, your Haunted Mansion in Disneyland apart from Walt Disney World's, is the overlays you get. And I've heard some people complain about that. and I guess if you're a purist, maybe you don't like the overlays. So tell us about that.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different story, right? Because it's essentially a different attraction. I mean, it's so different. It's really a different attraction. The overlay and the new lighting and everything they use really lights the Haunted Mansion up significantly. I mean, when you ride through it and you look around, you can see all the corners of the rooms. You know what I mean? Whereas if you just ride the Haunted Mansion on a normal ride, you really can't see where the ceiling ends and where the back of any room. So it's significantly brighter and colorful and different, and the whole soundtrack is different, so it really feels different. It's, you know, a full, I can understand why people complain about it. It's a full almost 30% of the Haunted Mansion's operating season is Haunted Mansion Holiday, right? And that goes over Halloween. I don't like having the Christmas stuff during Halloween. It just kind of somehow seems wrong to me. Yeah, and I kind of feel, I wish they would do an overlay for Halloween on the Haunted Mansion like they do Ghost Galaxy, and then quick, you know, I guess the problem is the time it takes to put these things in and strip them out. But, you know, if they could do that and strip it out and put Christmas in for Christmas, that would be awesome. But so, you know, I don't have a big problem with it in a sense because it's a whole nother attraction. It's really amazing. I love The Nightmare Before Christmas as a franchise. I think it's, you know, a great film, and so I like having a, at least there's a Disneyland attraction with The Nightmare Before Christmas represented, right? Sure. I'm happy about that. Mm-hmm. But I can understand people that just, it is very different. Like, it's just, it's very different. It's more of a Fantasyland type thing than a than an experience that's kind of, you know, mysterious and eerie. So I mean,
I don't know why. And, you know, so one of the things we've talked about on previous shows is that we all feel like Disneyland is more of a locals park as opposed to a vacation destination like Walt Disney World is. And that's the only thing I could really attribute to why they would do it at Disneyland and not do it at Walt Disney World. It's because people plan for years to go do a week in Walt Disney World, and they want to keep it the same. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think I've heard that, you know, many times, and I think it sounds rational, so it could be. I don't know if that's just something we as fans have kind of come up with and decided to describe. You know what I mean? To describe the situation.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It very well could just be they just haven't gotten around to doing it or found the money to do it at Disney World, you know, or whatever, you know. Or that could be true because it's rational and it makes sense.
And we don't get any of the overlays. Like, we don't get the Small World overlay. We don't get the Haunted Mansion. None of the overlays that happen in Walt Disney World for whatever reason.
Yeah. And so, you know, I don't know that it's – I think we as fans kind of say, well, no one wants it to be changed because they want that. But I think in general the population looks at these overlays as a bonus or a cool thing, you know. So I honestly think it just hasn't happened either philosophically it won't happen because that's just not something they do at Disney World, or just they haven't gotten around to it, or, you know, or for whatever reason that we don't know. But I don't think it's, personally, this is just my opinion, but I don't think it's this lofty decision of, well, the tourists don't want us to change anything at Disney World. They want to go on the Haunted Mansion as it originally exists. Well, you know, they're adding all kinds of garbage that's not as it originally existed. So it's
true.
Not.
That's us, true. That's true. You know,
so, yeah.
So
Jeff,
go ahead.
You said we're giving a lot of attention to the Haunted Mansion, but you said it's not always your number one favorite. What are a few other rides that are at your top?
Wow, that's a great question. Well, you know, and it kind of goes with whoever I'm interested in appreciating at the time. Like, I know a lot about Ken Anderson and what he did and Fantasyland. So some of the Fantasyland rides are very intriguing to me to see how they, you know, what Walt Disney decided and why he decided to put those things into his park the way he did. So like Snow White's Scary Adventures, which is, which is actually the first haunted dark ride that Disneyland had. That's kind of interesting to me. Not that I especially get a thrill out of writing it, but just the thought of how it, how they put it together and why it's there. Pirates has always been probably my favorite attraction until I found an interesting angle that caught my attention with the Haunted Mansion. I would have told you Pirates, because, and I think most people up until, and maybe even still possibly, would call Pirates probably their an overall favorite attraction.
Maybe I hear that a lot.
Yeah, but
I think it's pretty close.
I would think that. Yeah.
Between the Haunted Mansion and Pirates. But I completely agree with what you're saying. It kind of depends on, you know, look, I've always had a small fondness for It's a Small World. But I would never have put it on my top 10. But we just went down to Walt Disney World in October, and just a few months before we went, we get to interview Jeffrey Sherman on the show.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, and so he's telling us the story and how his dad told him, you know, whenever I pass away, I'm going to be standing at the end of It's a Small World telling everybody thank you and all this. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Man, I went into that trip like with a completely different perspective, and just hearing the story of how the song and all that came about, it blew me away. And when I went to Walt Disney World, I told my wife, I said, we got to go ride It's a Small World. Like, if we do nothing else, we have to go ride it, just because I had this newfound perspective that tied to the Sherman Brothers.
Absolutely. And there's so many angles, like not all the attractions, but so many attractions have that like multi-layered, multi-angled, even It's a Small World. I mean, you can look at, like you said, the Sherman Brothers, which is, you know, such a great angle there, the song and what the real meaning behind it is. You can look at how Walt Disney decided to, you know, kind of on a chance do these things for the World's Fair and use that as a testing ground for Walt Disney World in a sense, and how Small World fits into that. You can look at Mary Blair and how important she was as a female artist at the Walt Disney Company, right, and how her style was evolving through It's a Small World. I mean, there's so many angles you can look at that other than just a bunch of singing dolls, you know.
And that, my friend, is what makes us Disney nerds.
Yes.
That's for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, that's for sure part of it. We talked a lot about the Haunted Mansion, and obviously I don't want to spend the whole time talking about the Haunted Mansion, but I'd be remiss if I didn't get into the book a little bit, because the book is about the Haunted Mansion and kind of the unofficial story. Can you tell us how that came about, and is this something you just kind of heard, or is this stuff you pieced together, or is this kind of your idea?
So it's published by Theme Park Press, which has been kind of going gangbusters with the books the past couple of years. I encourage you kind of to check out that publisher, because he's getting all these Disney kind of people that worked behind the scenes at Disney to write their memoirs for him. And it's really just, that's there awesome. Are some fascinating books coming out of there. And he's been asking me, you know, to follow up with like a Pirates book to go along. And I just can't do it, because I haven't had a Pirates website for 19 years to kind of build the story on. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I shouldn't say I can't do it. Who knows if I'll try? But the Haunted Mansion, but the book specifically about the Haunted Mansion, it came from not even trying to write a book. I mean, over 19 years, I had just gathered information. People just want me to know. You know, people would write and say, hey, I remember this and that. Or do you remember this and that? Can you look into this? And I've gathered so many articles and interviews. And I mean, I did do some research. When I decided finally to do this book, I did sit down and set apart 3 months, and I went and talked to Rolly Crump, and I talked to Alice Davis, and I, you know, put together some actual, you know, I did some research to kind of form a narrative. But most of the content I'd had, either I'd written in little articles here and there over the past few years, or I just had on the website. So the book itself came about kind of that way, and it's unauthorized, right? So that means there's probably a couple things in there that you will never really hear from the Disney Company, because there's not a lot of controversy about the Haunted Mansion's creation, but there, I mean, probably, and this is probably true for every single thing that happened at WED, there's a lot of powerful, creative, artistic people involved with WED, because Walt would bring these people together, and he would even know a lot of them were oil and water and do that on purpose to kind of try to get the best result with his, you know, Imagineers. And so when he died in the middle of the Haunted Mansion story, you know, there was a little bit of tugging and pushing and pulling to kind of figure out what are we going to do. And some of that drama I outline in the book, because it's accurate and true, but also it gives a little window into, you know, how it was for the Imagineers to try to kind of function together and especially when Walt passed away, because he would just kind of look at everything as it was coming together and point in a direction and say, we'll go that way. And they would go that way. So that's a part of the book, you know, getting into some of the drama that you might not hear anywhere else. And there's some bits of conjecture and research because, you know, the Haunted Mansion has its factual history, right? There are facts, but a large part of, I guess, all history is either conjecture or opinion, depending on whose perspective is telling you the story, right? So the Haunted Mansion is no different. There's, in fact, I have two different perspectives from the Davis and the Crump points of view in there that conflict a little bit. So I kind of tried to figure out, you know, where's factually, how did this all work out, and put that together into the book. So, you know, it gets a little bit into that kind of interpersonal stuff that the Disney company won't ever, it doesn't serve any purpose for them to get into that kind of narrative,
Right. So you get down in the mud, right?
Yeah. So, but I mean, having said that, there's great respect for everyone that worked on that. I mean, Walt Disney had great respect for everyone he hired to work for his park. So I treat everyone with great respect. It's not like I'm looking for
the
arguments or the dirt or anything like that. But it is interesting to kind of see a little bit of how it worked at the time, and you know, how the Imagineers worked together the best they could, especially when Walt passed away. So that's in the book. And then something that's interesting is that there's a few years ago, and I'm proud to say doomuggies.com dotted one little dot line to connect the story together and kind of bring this to the public's attention. But a few years ago, an Imagineer who prefers to remain anonymous sent me a scan from a book he found in the Wed Library, and he just said, I thought you'd find this interesting. And that's all he said. And he sent me a scan of this book, and it was a page from this 1950 book called The Decorative Art of Victoria's Era. I think that's what it's called. And it was a catalog of just Victorian era furniture and architecture and iron work and that kind of thing. Really thick, long book. And inside was this photograph of the Shipley Lydecker House in Baltimore, Maryland, which is an identical photograph to the famous sketch that Ken Anderson made of the haunted house that Sam McKim painted to make this. I don't know if you recognize the bluish painting of the Haunted Mansion in the trees with the moss and the storm clouds. It's the most famous painting of the Haunted Mansion there is. So that painting is exactly this photograph. The perspective is the same. Like, it's obviously a copy, right? So, and so we found it. You know, the Imagineer sent it to me, and hey, we found the genesis for the Haunted Mansion, right? So, that's my book, and I talk about it a little bit. And it was the way that it was discovered to be the Shipley Lydecker House is some other internet sleuths put together. The book just says it's a mansion in Baltimore. That's all it says. And so, some other Disney fans kind of went looking for this place, and they figured out it was this famous mansion called the Shipley Lydecker House. So, which doesn't exist anymore. It's been razed since. But so this is in my book, the story, right? But the Disney Company still to this day, even up to a couple weeks ago at the Walt Disney Family Museum, there was a panel discussion, and Kim Irvine, who's been at WED for, I don't know, 25 years, and she's the art director of Disneyland right now. She even, you know, someone said in the question and answer, so what's the genesis of the Haunted Mansion's architecture? And she said, well, that's kind of a controversial question, you know. And then another panelist said, well, it might have been this place in Baltimore, but there's all these other, you know, bits and pieces of influence. And I was at Disneyland taking one of their tours recently, and they said the same thing, like, oh, there's so many different influences that built the Haunted Mansion. And it's really not true. Ken Anderson copied a building, and it's identical to the Haunted Mansion we have. And really, that's the beginning and end of the architectural inspiration for Disneyland's Haunted Mansion, at least. Sure. So that's interesting. You know, there's differences in my book, the stories I will tell you, and the things you might hear from the Disney Company, just because for reasons you might be able to understand, they don't want to just say, well, we copied this building that was in Baltimore and built it again in Disneyland, and that's our Haunted Mansion. And also saying that, I don't mean to say, so Ken Anderson drew that picture and then God snapped his fingers and a Haunted Mansion appeared in Disneyland. Like, obviously there was a lot of work involved. You know, I don't know if they completely made plans on their own just by looking at this photograph, or if they went to Baltimore to track down the architect, or, you know, I don't know any of that information. So clearly they did do a lot of work and research to create the Haunted Mansion's architecture, but But it's, you know, it has its genesis in one single photograph in one book. So it's those kind of things. You know, I try to cut through some of the stories to give you kind of a more accurate picture of the Haunted Mansion. Disney sometimes will tell its stories with a little bit more flair and mystery behind sure. behind some of it. You know, and
right.
I try to be a little bit more, well, this is what happened. And it's really a great, interesting story because sometimes people just want to know, like, how does it actually work? Like, I know the Imagineers are magical and they just come up with amazing things, you know, and Disney has a great way of putting that on words. But sometimes you want to know, what does that really look like? And that's kind of where my right. book comes in. Like, how did that actually happen? And so that's what I try to bring to the table with my book.
Where is the Very cool. best place for somebody to get a copy of your book?
Amazon.com. So
there you go. There you go. So if they just
Amazon and
if they just yeah. search Amazon, search Jeff Baham, boom.
Yep, it'll come right up. That's the only book I've written, so that's so the far. One that'll come up. And, yeah, so far.
So
yeah.
far. And, could be a pirate's book in the future.
Yeah, who knows what'll come out in the future. Okay. I do have a couple thoughts, but yeah, that's gotcha. Amazon. And it's on Kindle too. And actually the second edition is the book that just launched this week, actually. So when you go to buy it, it's the second edition. So I expanded it to be like right up to date with all the latest happenings at both of the Haunted Mansions up into Disneyland's Hatbox Ghost and the new graveyard. Just a couple weeks ago, Disneyland unveiled, I guess a month ago, its new cemetery on a hill. So tried to cover all of that latest information in the new
well,
release.
Disney World, they're doing a lot of interesting things. And for some of the Halloween parties, we're seeing characters come out and start to tell stories. They're kind of stories.
Yes.
They had something Delacruz. It's the lady with the parasol from the stretching room, but her last name was Delacruz, Daisy Delacruz, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then just recently, and she talked about how there was a tightrope over the water, like talking about the little water, like the little waterway right next to the, and she fell in. And then this last year, and that was for an annual pass holder meet or something at Walt Disney World. And then this past Halloween, for some of the parties, they had Lady Renata out. I can't remember
yes.
exactly what her whole story was, but it's interesting that they're like, it's interesting that now all of a sudden, this many years later, they're putting out some of these character development stuff to get us even more hooked on the great stories.
Yeah, and you know that's what it's all about, right? To get a little story going there, to get the intrigue and the mystery. And I kind of wonder about those things sometimes. You know, historically there have been these kind of conflicts between Imagineering and the parks, and the parks will do this stuff, and Imagineering will come in and grumble, and that's really not what the Haunted Mansion is all about. And I know nothing about this specific that you're talking about. I do know about how Disney World has these characters that are storytellers. I'm really curious about how it fits into the grand scheme of reality and, you know, with Imagineering.
Completely off, right? Does Imagineering even have any
right.
say-so in this, or is this something that parks
that the parks are doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to know. Maybe I'll look into that a little bit. But it is interesting, you know, to see the things they do. And, I love it. I think it's great. I personally don't get hooked up on, like, what's canon. You know, Disney Haunted Mansion fans really can get stuck on little loops of logic and can get really worked up about the canon. And
canon.
What's true and what's yeah. real and what do the Imagineers mean and is it. Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And let me tell you. And as I'm a huge like Marvel Cinematic Universe fan.
Yeah.
And I'm not one that grew up reading all the comics. I love the genre, but I didn't grow up with it. So it's interesting to me because I have a lot of friends who did, and I could watch a movie and love it, and they come to me and say, well, you know, this is what was wrong with it. That never really happened. And this is in the comic books, it happened this way. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, can't you just sit down and enjoy the movie for what it is? You know,
it's funny. I was just actually yesterday talking to someone about this very thing. I was at this event called MouseCon this weekend. I actually had presented a panel on the Haunted Mansion there. And one of the speakers was a guy named Pat McGreal. He's been a Mickey Mouse cartoon comic book writer for 25 years. So
wow.
For 25 years, he's kind of created the character of Mickey Mouse, you know, because Mickey Mouse, as we know it, is a corporate icon, right? But someone has to keep his personality and life moving in, You know what I mean? And that's, sure. And that's yes. what the comic book writers do. And he's been doing that forever. And we were talking about this. You know, I was asking him, so how do you keep track of, you know, and he said, Mickey Mouse, he doesn't care about continuity at all. And he says, you know, back when Duckburg and Donald Duck was a big comic book thing, they also didn't care about it. Duckburg sometimes would have mountains, sometimes would have rivers, like sometimes would have none of that. It just whatever suited the story. So continuity wasn't a thing. But then you have these Marvel movies, just like you're saying. And it's so important for those kind of comic books to have continuity because they all work together. And it's just interesting. Some parts of Disney, it's important. And some parts, it's not. And it's like Star Wars. And then if it is important, yes, eventually they have to ditch it all. Like when they bought Star Wars, they had this moment where they said, you know what? We're going to ditch all the canon except for the movies, and all the books were set adrift.
Right? It's interesting they did, and this isn't Disney, but it's still Marvel, but X-Men did the same thing. They went so far off of continuity, they came out with a movie explaining why it went off of continuity, saying, look, well, they went back in the past, and that was that's an alternate reality. That's why it's not didn't follow continuity.
So, it's just interesting how people get worked up about this stuff, right? So, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, but the Haunted Mansion fans, no different, right? They all want to know, what did the Imagineers intend? And really, they didn't have a lot of intention originally for much of anything.
Not the story, anyway.
Story-wise.
They just wanted to say, hey, you're in a Haunted Mansion. This is you get what you get what it is. You know, it's all in your face. Which is odd, because I think people go to Disney and they want to hear about that backstory.
Yeah, well, I will tell you this. I will tell you they fought. Well, I mean, they didn't fight with each other. They did a little bit. But, I mean, they really wrestled with trying to put a story in there. They did always try to put a story in there, but it just didn't work. You know, they couldn't – at the end of the day, what worked best is to strip out the story and leave the experience, right? So – but up and even until Exotencio's first few scripts – so first, Ken Anderson worked on all these crazy stories about a sea captain and his doomed, you know – his bride and how he killed his bride and all these different stories Ken Anderson tried to come up with, and they were just too complex and too hard to describe. And then Mark Davis took a stab at it, and they were trying to have a character that would go through the attraction with you, maybe the Raven and the Ghost Host, and they wanted this story. Yeah, and they wanted the story to be, well, the Raven is really the Ghost Host, and when you get to the end and the Raven, you would see, you know, the Ghost Host would be kind of teasing back and forth with the Raven, and he'd keep saying, you know, the Raven, be careful, he's trying to, you know, take over another soul. And and eventually you would discover at the end of the attraction that the voice you'd been hearing the whole time was the Raven's spirit, and he was taking over your body and following you home. So, you know, they were trying to put this stuff into the Haunted Mansion. It just never really... It was too much, and it just didn't really work, you know. And so finally, when they stripped that out and just made it the experience that you're going with, that's what we have.
Eddie Murphy movie? Is that the canon now?
No. What about the new movie? Isn't there supposed to be a new movie?
I hope so.
Del Toro is supposed to be.
I mean, that's been talked about for quite a few years now, right?
Well, I don't want to be like, oh, I'm great friends with Guillermo del Toro, because he's a few pay grades above me, but he does answer my emails on occasion. And he up until just recently indicated that, you know, all systems are still go on the Haunted Mansion film. It's just, you know, is there all the pieces going to fall into place or not? That hasn't happened yet. But his interest is high, and, you know, for what it's worth.
Well, tell him he has fans waiting, because it has to be better than that Eddie Murphy thing. I mean, it's cute. It's a cute family flick.
Disney Channel movie is better than the Eddie Murphy Haunted Mansion.
Well, you know about the Eddie Murphy movie. What's interesting is, so, you know, my generation, we all loved the Haunted Mansion. We're waiting for a movie, and it came out, and here it comes, and Don Hahn was, you know, pumping up how realistic it's going to be and how much of an homage to the ride, which it actually is. You know, in fact, I think some people have taken out the Eddie Murphy bits and tried to create a film, and actually it's pretty spooky and cool. But then it came out and it was a family comedy, right? And we all kind of went, oh, but what's weird is that it has a huge, so all the kids who were the intended audience at the time are now in their 20s and, you know, young adults. And they love this movie. They have the fondness like I had for Poltergeist. They have this fondness for the Haunted Mansion movie that is just really interesting to me.
I completely agree.
I'm going to kind of look into that.
I have young adult children, 25, 22, and 16, and it's not Halloween if they don't watch that movie at least as many times as they watch Hocus Pocus. I mean, they really do watch that as many times as they watch Hocus Pocus. They love it. They love that Tower of Terror movie, too. And then, of course, all the Halloween Town, all those.
The Disney classic Halloween stuff. So, you know, it's hard, they call movies family movies, but they're really kid movies, right? I mean, it's hard to make a movie. It can be done. Pixar does it all the time. But to make a movie that is truly a cross-generational film that pleases everyone is no easy feat, right? So sure, it turns out that Haunted Mansion movie was really a kid's movie, right? A tween movie, if you could call it. Like a tweens. Not kids, because my kids, I won't let them watch it yet. You know, they're 5 and 9, a little young. Maybe the 9-year-old could get there, but you know, it's like a tween film, and it really worked for that audience at the time. We just had a loud outcry of this is not what we wanted.
I don't want to go too far off path, but you know, the when they make these movies, and that's just like when I was talking about the Marvel movies and my buddies who have read the comic books and they look at it, you know, oh well, they didn't do this, and that's not who they're making the movies for. And you know what, as a big huge Haunted Mansion fan, they didn't make that movie for me. They made it to appeal to the masses.
Just
for the guys that are like, you know, in the Haunted Mansion fan club.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, it's got to appeal to everyone.
But having said that, Guillermo del Toro was firmly in the Haunted Mansion fan club. So so we'll see what he can come up with. Maybe, you know, maybe we'll see.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nostalgia.com. Tell us how long you've been doing the podcast.
Yeah, Nostalgia has been around for 8 years.
Very long time in the podcast.
It is, yeah. World. We were, you know, it seemed like Inside the Magic and Lou were around for so long when we started. But now, you know, like our numbers are off by a year or two. You know, right. It's like, wow. Sure. You know, that was kind of early days. And we talked mostly about, we early on decided, well, there's not a lot of West Coast focused podcasts. So we're going to focus on, since we're all on the West Coast, we're going to focus on Disneyland and kind of the studios and what's happening out on the West Coast. And kind of our Disneyland angle is a little bit of a sneaky way to get people to hear our Disney history stuff, because that's really where our passion lies. And so we talk to animators and Imagineers and, you know, that those kind of Disney legend type people that can give you a good dose of history. And we kind of sneak it into your life by telling you we talk about the parks a lot, which we do.
Sure.
But you know, it's an overall Disney podcast, and we're loving it. We have not missed a week since we started. I mean, we started for a couple months with bi-weekly episodes, and ever since then we've gone weekly and haven't missed one yet, and still loving it, still having a great time. And I remember our first few months. I mean, I remember us sitting there counting on our hands, like, okay, there's Tomorrowland, Fantasyland, you know, we got 6 episodes. We can talk about this. We got 8 episodes. Like, what are we going to talk about? And it turns out the world of Disney is vast and wide, there is always something to talk about, right? So whether it's a movie or some event and then fortunately for us, the Walt Disney Family Museum opened within a year after we started the podcast out here in San Francisco. So we also cover that regularly. They have special, you know, talks and panels every month. They have something going on, and we try to cover as many of those as we can. So we have our little niche out here in the West Coast, and it's been a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I'm on Nostalgia right now, and y'all are at 414 episodes. That's really amazing. That's awesome. Yeah. Congratulations being long lasting.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we're trucking along. So it's a labor of love, right? You know, it takes an amount of work and effort to do a podcast, but it's worth it. It's a way for us all to kind of document our life, this little part of our lives, right? Because other parts of our lives sneak in there. And, you know, someday my girls, I envision, who knows, they may have no interest whatsoever, but there'll be this like decade of what daddy's was up to for a year that they can kind of, you know, or what daddy was up to for a decade that they can kind of look at and remember. So I don't know. There's a lot of reasons that it's kind of cool.
Sure. I think one of the biggest ones we like to talk about is, you know, since we've been doing it, we've just got to meet so many other great people like yourself in the Disney community. And when we were just all there, and we were from, I'm in New Orleans, Charlotte's in Atlanta, Ed lives in Philadelphia, Sam lives in Pittsburgh, and Jennifer lives in Southern Ohio. And wow, we were just all together in Walt Disney World. So this is the third year we've done this, where, you know, we pick a week and we try and all make it. And this is the third year we've all got to be there. And not just between us, though, but just between other people we've met, other podcasters, other, you know, some of the locals down there. Some people come make the trip just to come do some of the stuff we do and hang out. So just the community, to me, is one of the biggest reasons we love to do what we do.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you know, Dune Buggies, Dune Buggies had a community too for a long time, but there was no podcast at the time, and social media wasn't really fully developed, so it was difficult to kind of keep that together. But Mousetalgia now with the podcast, and we sponsor every year up in Seattle, there's a convention called the Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet, and we're a sponsor there. And yeah, it's amazing. We go up to Seattle once a year, and just to meet all the Disney fans up in the Pacific Northwest and hear, you know, their passions and the things they love, and to get to meet so many amazing people. It's definitely a big plus of being part of the Disney community. I wholeheartedly agree with you.
Awesome. It's really awesome.
With that, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on. We truly appreciate it. We enjoy talking to you and getting some of your perspective, especially coming from Disneyland, which we don't get that a whole lot. So thanks again. We really appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. It's been my pleasure.
I'm really looking forward to getting out to Disneyland. I need to ride Haunted Mansion, and your book is sitting in my Amazon cart. And as soon as we're done with this, I'm going to hit click so I can get reading on that, because that looks really good.
Oh, yeah. You got to come out next year for the D23 Expo. It's another thing I didn't mention that we cover heavily. Oh, have you ever, either of you been to the Expo?
Neither one
of
us.
No, but
have.
It is on our list. So let's go.
Sam, who's something. On it, Sam, who's one of our co-hosts, and Jennifer. They both go, I think, every year and cover it. So we definitely.
It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Yeah,
it's our turn.
Definitely need to get out there. I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Definitely. Yeah. Jeff, I have one question I forgot to ask you. Do you have any goal to go to Haunted Mansions overseas? Any of the other Disney parks outside of the United States?
I would love to go to Disney parks outside of the United States. Not just because of the Haunted Mansion, although I am curious, especially about Phantom Manor. You know, I've seen it so many times on video that I just want to know what it feels like. You know what I mean? Nothing will surprise me about the look, but I just can't quite get the feel
yet. It's not the same.
Yeah. So I would love to go to Paris, and, you know, although my wife says if we ever go to Paris, there better be. You know, she's very skeptical about using one of those days to go to a Disney park. My wife is the rational person that keeps our house somewhat normal. You would still say, oh, it's a Disney guy. But you wouldn't say, oh, it's a crazy lunatic
crazy
Disney
lunatic.
Guy.
Right, right. That's my husband.
Yeah. So she kind of keeps
Disney all over the house.
Yeah, she keeps things in control. So to that end, similar, if we ever actually made it to Paris, you know, she might be, well, let's just make sure we go to the Louvre and, you know, Notre Dame, and, you know,
right.
It's all taken care of. Maybe we can
spend one day on Disney.
But yeah, I would love to. But I mean, I'm a school teacher. My wife is a school teacher. Like, traveling to Europe, we have two young kids. It's probably in the somewhat distant future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
we'll
see. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad that you said Phantom Manor, because that would be the one that I'm like, oh yeah, that's got to go there.
definitely.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
You bet. It's been fun.
Yeah. Thanks so much again. And for Charlotte, Sam, Jennifer, Ed, this is Jimmy. See you later, and Quaharini.
Just keep swimming.
to join our jamboree. There's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace.